Ryan Day isn't ready to smash the accelerator quite yet. Don't go immediately from 0 to 60 miles an hour. That is what we learned on a Woody Wednesday. Welcome to Snap Judgments. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Buckeyes getting ready for Saturday's matchup with Grambling State at 3:30. And it's all these questions about, well, what can you get corrected here? What's the next step? How much can you actually put on Julian Sain's plate? What are you going to do with the running game? It's like, one step at a time. Today's one practice. Tomorrow's another practice. Saturday's one game. They're not going to be a finished product by Saturday. Now the slow build of a training camp style couple of weeks has begun.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting just to see the dynamic of this team. I think that there's a few people, and that includes the head coach and the other coaches, who now can finally like take a breath a little bit and say, okay, let's take a step back and reevaluate exactly where we are with this team, because everything for the last 8 months, everything in the August training camp was ramped up in circling one game. And now you can take a step back and say, hey, okay, well, what's exactly happening here? Is this the right decision for this team? And Ryan Day talked about that, as you mentioned, with the play calling. He talked about it with the right guard situation, talked about it just about pretty much everything he was asked. So it's a good time to take a deep breath, I think. But he also said today's practice was very physical. Yesterday was very physical. He said so. And I was speaking with Arvell Reese as he was walking off the field in the media session. I said, everyone knows that Saturday is over now. Saturday doesn't matter at this point.
I don't think that – did he agree with that?
That last Saturday, it doesn't matter that you won that game now. Like, you have to go out and keep intensity and keep the edge, because...
Oh, I thought you meant the next Saturday's over because of a Wednesday physical practice.
No.
That's my confusion.
No, I mean...
My apologies.
Last Saturday's game...
My apologies to the Hilltoppers.
The big win against the number one team in the country. Ohio State played number one.
That one's over.
Ohio State played number one ranked Texas in the Horseshoe, which is over there a couple days ago.
Yeah,
so that,
I got you.
That game now is irrelevant. And if you're not out here... And Arvell Reese himself said, he was doing a television interview and walked away and said, man, I'm not comfortable doing these things. It's like, people, I don't like talking about myself. And he said, plus, if I don't play well Saturday, what I did last week doesn't matter anyway. So,
yeah.
Like, that's the mindset, I think, that is a championship mindset. It's sort of cliche to say that, but that's certainly what they have.
I think Arvell's going to have to get used to talking about himself.
Yeah,
because the world has taken notice. And he, out of everyone that met the media after practice on Wednesday, he sat there the longest, because I think that's also what comes with the territory when you're about to have like a Butkus Award campaign and momentum behind you. And, you know, how do you feel when you do this? Like, what can you do? And all this, he's like, I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah.
And it's the instincts about Arvell Reese that set him apart. And to have him try and describe that, like, I don't know that anyone could that can do the things he can do.
He can't explain it. And that's the reality. Like, it is instinctual. Like, it's not something he's been like working on, honing his instincts.
Yeah.
And it's just like going to be a new favorite hobby of mine this year, that when we see Arvell talking to the media, watching his face as he gets asked certain questions, because he's not classically media trained. So I don't think like you can read his face when he's going, why are you asking me this? Like, so that happened a few times tonight, but between Arvell Reese and Will Kaczmarek and Philip Daniels, it seemed like a group of players that was pretty dialed in.
And Jalen McClain and C.J. Donaldson,
yep.
Tim Walton also talked, had a moment like, you know, C.J. Donaldson, I think the appreciation that he had, he was sort of like dropping these hints. He's like, because he suffered a pretty significant injury against Texas at Texas now 3 years ago, or almost 3 years ago. And he had asked, like, have you been in a similar environment to Saturday? Because he was raving about the Horseshoe and how loud and electric it was. He's like, no. And he said the closest thing was Texas, but... You know, that was kind of a traumatic situation. And it's like, okay. And I was like, because I was one of those people that hadn't done that research to understand how scary that situation was for him. So the appreciation that he had for the opponent that he was able to play, the fact that he was on the field playing, and then scoring that opening touchdown in the win over Texas, it was like a really special moment for him. So I circled back just to, you know, tell him, like, oh man, I'm sorry I wasn't aware of that part of your history, but like, now this is like got to be really special for us. Like, yeah, absolutely blessed, and then locked into trying, as you said, that part is over for him. It was a cool moment, and now it's on to the next opportunity for that running game to get better against Grambling, because the rest of it that's done and dusted for him.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating to see which direction Ohio State goes with the offense on Saturday, because there are only so many minutes in the game. There are only so many opportunities possession-wise, and there's things you want to work on, I would imagine, both with the run game and the passing game, and trying to open things up for Julian Sain, and trying to figure out how to more, get more vertical and get more aggressive in the pass game. So I don't know that C.J. Donaldson, in fact, I mean, I would expect that he will have the third most carries of the running backs on Saturday.
That's a bold pick.
But I also just, you know, it's pretty remarkable. Here we are. It's Ohio State. It's week two of the season. They just beat the number one team in the country. And if you think about the guys we talked to tonight, you have four players. Two of them are transfers who just played in their first game at Ohio Stadium. And you're like, well, like, it's pretty remarkable how Ohio State continues to absolutely crush the transfer portal.
They've done well. But again, you have to go out and do that again. And they, I mean, the starting quarterback, even if he was only in Alabama for a week, he was a transfer as well. And that was the part where Ryan Day said, you're not going from 0 to 60 miles an hour all at once. So if there is a notion, an expectation, a desire, whatever it is, to see a more freewheeling, wide open Ohio State passing attack on Saturday, I think there may be flashes of it, but I don't think that the idea presented on Saturday that Julian Sain can handle more means that all of a sudden he's walking up to an endless buffet.
Yeah, you don't need to do that against Grambling State either. So it needs to be kind of a controlled burn. It's situational. It's trying to figure out, hey, if it's third and long, what's the best thing to get Julian the experience he needs? If it's another fourth and one, what's the best experience that he can get? It's not a situation where it's going to be four verts the whole game and just everyone running all goes and saying, go ahead, Julian, just pick your guy and throw it 50 yards. I mean, this is for all intents and purposes a scrimmage against another football team on Saturday. I don't think that Ohio State is going to be disrespectful to Grambling. Ryan Day gave a nice platitudes to the role of Grambling State in history and Eddie Robinson and what he meant to the game of football. But Ohio State also is well aware of the fact that Grambling State does not belong on the same field with them. And so it'll be really curious to see how they approach it once you get going on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, because they still want to get work done. And they need that for the starters who are not just magically
experienced all of a sudden.
Yeah, like three-year veterans. Like that doesn't happen in 1 week. Now, one game against Texas is pretty significant, and that has raised the foundation, solidified the foundation, raised the floor, perhaps, if you actually want to make that metaphor more accurate. But, you know, to think that Julian Sain is going to be able to now do everything that Will Howard did at the end of his fifth year of college football or 15 games, you know, playing for Ohio State, like that's not going to happen. So everyone is working to take those steps, because I do think that this is about getting to September 27th and that road game at Washington more than it's about Grambling. Even, you know, not that it's going to be the same thing for Ohio a week and a half from now either, but you saw after practice, Brandon Ennis, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, they went straight to the Monarch over there. It wasn't against the wall.
They left practice, had finished up and immediately came in and started catching balls.
So they know that this week is going to be a bigger test for them, not in the way of can you or can you not beat the number one team in the country, but can you install the next level? Can you take – we all know what those guys are capable of, but they've not done it yet really with Julian Sain. So this part is still the beginning stages of a journey. Now, this is more of a bunny hill than it is double black diamonds, but it's still – they don't know what defense they're going to play on every snap, so it's significant.
Are those skiing terms?
Those are, yeah.
Cool. I think that for this team – and again, sort of what I said earlier – I think the biggest challenge for this weekend is to just to make sure that whatever reps you're getting, if you're the Ohio State starters and you only play a quarter, then you need to play as hard as you can for a quarter. And it needs to be a clean quarter. It can't be like, well, we're out here to goof off. Like, if they're going to put you on the field on Saturday, you have to go out there and play it like you're playing Texas. It doesn't matter if you're only getting 10 snaps. It doesn't matter if you're getting 50 snaps. If you're not playing each of those snaps like you're playing Texas, then you're in the wrong program. And I think that's the message Ohio State's trying to instill in its players. I think that's why we saw C.J. Hicks and James Peoples be the last two people off the field, because those guys both know that, you know, C.J. had the biggest play of his career.
Not young anymore.
But it's still a play that he didn't finish. And I think that those are the things that are just going to drive this team. And I feel bad for Graham McSate. I'll just say it now.
I think, based on my own experience with CJ Hicks, who is just now finally leaving the practice field at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center,
or he was about to. It's an hour and hour after practice.
I think you and me may have been the 10,000th people. Mm-hmm. We won a prize for asking him how
Arch Manning got
that pass off. I don't think he's enjoyed hearing about it because he doesn't know the answer.
No, I mean, but it's a reminder like, hey, I was in there in a big moment. I made a play, but I didn't finish the play. I didn't complete my task. And that's what motivates guys like CJ to keep working, keep getting better. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of guys that understand Saturday is going to be much different than last Saturday. And that means the guys that, you know, we were asking about earlier in the week, like Malik Hartford and Bryce West and Aaron Scott, like, number one, I'm sure those guys knew going into the game on Saturday that there was a chance that they might not play.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have an opportunity coming in front of you in a lot of games down the road, but you're going to be needed by this team. And so it's interesting to see, from my perspective, how those guys go out there and take advantage of that on Saturday, because it is an opportunity, period, for these players.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the most fascinating parts of Saturday as Ohio State looks for its second win of the season, playing Grambling at 3:30. We will get into all of that and so much more on a Three Thoughts Thursday. That will be coming your way on the beat to start off that day. Then we'll dive even deeper to some class-specific expectations with the freshmen who we think might be playing, maybe even giving some bold predictions about it on a Freaky Friday.
I bet we will give bold predictions. I'm not even throwing a maybe in there. That's an ironclad guarantee.
Seems like a very safe bet. You're absolutely right, partner.
Was there anything Ryan Day said tonight that, like before we wrap this episode of Snap Judgments on 10TV Plus, 10TV, 97.1 The Fan, what was your like, oh, okay, that's what I needed to hear. I wanted to hear that. Anything?
Most of the questions were about the quarterbacks and the next step. And it included all three of them.
Yeah, he was asked specifically about Lincoln Keenholz.
I asked about, you know, the design. What's the ideal scenario to get Lincoln Keenholz involved? And I've been covering Ryan Day for 7 years. I knew that I wasn't going to get a specific answer. Like, it's got to be 20 snaps. It's got to be the entire second half, whatever. But I am fascinated, and he acknowledged that he needs it. I think he didn't go quite as far with that. Like, Tavian St. Clair's development track, I think it would be nice if he gets involved, and maybe that would happen against Grambling. I think you kind of anticipate that it would with a couple handoffs or maybe the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think he is aware. He said Tavian St. Clair is two snaps away from potentially being on the field, and then he kind of just like it looked like he gave himself shivers. He didn't like thinking about that possibility, but it is
real.
More and a more sobering reminder that Lincoln Keenholz, who has not played, not received a single snap since the bad Cotton Bowl, not the great Cotton Bowl.
I thought he played in the Tennessee game last year.
Did he?
I think he took like two snaps.
Maybe. Well,
there was one game in the playoffs when he played. I'm pretty sure it was Tennessee.
Okay. I will take your word for it. If I'm wrong about that, I'm sure people will let me know, or you will let me know in about 5 minutes when we're done here. But either way, it's not a high leverage snap. It's not one that you're going to put down as meaningful experience or one that Ohio State can evaluate if they need him down the road at some point. So that's the part that I think we all want to see the next step for Ohio State and what that means for Julian Sain, especially after the way that Ryan Day and Brian Hartline got a little too excited and carried away thinking about it. The way that they have talked
DJ
about
DJ Brian Days.
Not him. We don't need him calling any plays. But what they think that they can do with him is like, okay, well, let's start seeing that immediately. Yeah. This is probably not the chance for that. And it does need to be probably an opportunity for Lincoln Keenholz to get the reps that he did not last year.
But there is a fundamental understanding from Ryan Day that game reps, even against Grambling State, are much more important than practice reps. Like, when you get a chance to see them in the stadium, see them in a live atmosphere, see them when you don't know exactly what the defense is doing, when you are under duress, and not that Ohio State quarterback should be under much duress on Saturday, but like, that matters so much more. And you know, I appreciate that Ryan went out of his way to quickly point out when you asked him about Lincoln Keenholz, like, yeah, he had another great day of practice. Like, he wants to keep building him up. But the best way to do that is to get him meaningful snaps on Saturday where he's throwing the ball. And not just, if the Buckeyes are up 42-0 at half and Lincoln Keenholz comes in the third and he hands the ball off a bunch, I'm sorry. And this is, again, that's where I feel bad for Grambling State, but your program's getting a lot of money to come up here and get your butt kicked. So,
like, that's what the money's for.
You're going to need to see Lincoln Kienholz run the full offense. And I hope now he may have to do that with the backup offensive line or the backup wide receivers or a freshman running back, but like, let him run the full offense because all those other guys need those reps too.
Yeah. I think that's got to be like, if I'm drawing it up, it's the first half for Julian Sayin and it's the second half for Lincoln Kienholz because Julian Sayin has already beat Texas. And if he gets to run the full offense, he should be out of harm's way and then building, you know, for Ohio in the week after that. But we'll see.
Yep.
The opportunity now is one day closer because practice is over on a Wednesday evening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. They're on to the next one, on to the next day, as Tim Walton said. Everything else is past and they are moving closer to another opportunity on the field in the Horseshoe. We will be covering that all week long for 10TV 97.1 The Fan. And you can get the Austin and Berm Show anywhere you get podcasts as well. Thanks for joining us for Snap Judgments. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you on Thursday morning.